podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Good morning. It's always a privilege to get to have the opportunity to share with y'all. And this morning is no different. I will try and contain my excitement. But before we start, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being here, God. Thank you for your protection over us, God. Thank you that we live in a country where we can freely worship you, God. And God, we just invite you to be here. And God, we just pray that you would just take over this sermon, God. More of you, less of me, God. The words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, God. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Our verse this morning is actually found in Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll open there, and we're going to be reading from Colossians chapter 3. We're actually going to start on verse 23, and we'll read the two verses. So they say this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. This morning, before we get started, if you opened your bulletins, you probably noticed that there was not sermon notes in there. And if you're anything like me, that is very disheartening because I have attention deficit disorder. And if I don't have something to take notes on, then you lose me and I get lost. So how many of you would like sermon notes? All right, sweet. There's a few of you. Awesome. I have all my sermon notes here, and they're on this beautiful green piece of paper. But in order for you to get one, I want you to tell me as loudly and boldly as you can who God is to you. So once you do that, these gentlemen here will hand one out to you. So one moment, gentlemen. One moment. He's eager. You don't have to take them back. But boldly, if you will profess who God is in your life or what he did for you this week, they'll hand you a sermon note. So anyone? All right. There are two of them. Forgiveness. Anyone else? Peace. We'll get the bulletins to you. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes, sir. Redeemer. Protector. Yes, sir. Savior. God is love. Yep. Perfection. Father. Lord and Savior. Your rock. Yep. Life. Creator. Your helper, comforter, sustainer, best friend. Ooh. Her best friend. Provider. As you get your sermon notes, and you probably already looked in your bulletin, we're going to talk about the enthusiastic believer. It's not a mistake. It's not a mishap that we just did that your sermon notes weren't in there. I wanted you to show excitement that you serve a living God, a God who's present in all times. And he means something different at times to each one of us. And they're going to get you your sermon notes, and don't worry, they're real simple, because I'm very simple. But a couple of weeks ago, we actually got, I got the opportunity to share with you guys about spiritual apathy. And what that looked like. And if we're being real honest, it was a very difficult lesson to teach because sometimes you got to step on some toes. But just a quick reminder, and maybe for those of you who weren't here, we defined apathy as the lack of interest, the lack of enthusiasm or concern for something or someone. And basically, by the end of the service, we summed apathy up as being the lack of caring about people. And we all know that we're called to be Christ-like, and Christ loved people. So hopefully when you walked out, you left understanding that we're not called to be apathetic believers, but rather the opposite. And I like to look at it as a two-part sermon, because a couple weeks ago we talked about what is apathy, where does it start, and how do we begin to fix it? What are the solutions for it? And the cool part is the solutions for apathy are actually the beginning steps for spiritual enthusiasm. But before we dig in, let's start off, and we'll define the word enthusiasm. And Webster's Dictionary, which is my second favorite book, as the youth know, defines enthusiasm as being a noun, and it means intense and eager enjoyment, interest or approval, or anything that arouses such feelings. Synonyms for it are zeal and fervor. So a couple weeks ago, we spoke about apathy, what caused it, what it was, and how we fixed it. And it is our starting point for spiritual enthusiasm. When it comes to enthusiasm about anything, so we're going to step away. When it comes to enthusiasm about anything, the first step is a relationship. You have to have some sort of relationship with what's going on to be enthusiastic about it, okay? It'd be stupid of me to stand up here this morning and tell some of you, hey, I want you to be enthusiastic about the Puerto Rico water polo team because they're really good. Exactly. You're like, I don't know who they are, and quite frankly, I don't care. It'd be stupid for me to think that you're going to get great enjoyment out of following the Puerto Rico water polo team if you don't know who they are, if you don't know what water polo is, if you don't know when they're going to play. It's pointless for me to try and force you to get enthusiastic, to have a, you know, excitement or eager or interest or show approval for it. The first step to spiritual enthusiasm is you've got to have a relationship with God. And before we can even jump in, or before I can say, hey, let's all be spiritually enthusiastic, it's fundamental that we all understand that a relationship with God is clutch. If you don't have that relationship with God, then I can't stand here and expect for you to be enthusiastic about serving God. So a few moments ago, I told you the last steps of apathy were the first steps of a relationship with God. Yes, the first steps of a relationship with God are prayer, taking time to pray, which is basically talking to God, setting aside a time of the day where you can just talk to God, reading the Word of God, taking a time in the day where you can just be in His Word and hear what He has to say to you, being in a Bible study or a devotional where you can share with each other what God is doing in your life, and then also making God the main priority, the main man, the most important thing in your life. And those were the three cures for apathy, but they're also the first step of enthusiasm, because you've got to have a relationship with God. If you think back when you were younger, some of you, for some of you, hopefully nothing yet, when you first fell in love with your significant other or with an actor or something of that nature, you read everything about that person, or nowadays you text like it's no one's business about that person. You talk all the time. You're interested in what's going on in their life. They become the main focus. I mean, you wake up, hey, how are you? You go to bed, all right, good night, talk to you in the morning. That is a relationship. So a relationship with God doesn't work if it's just Him speaking to you. You need to be in communication. Just like a relationship with a significant other or a family member or a friend doesn't work if it's one side always trying to pull all the weight. You need to be in a constant relationship with Jesus. Now, once you've established that relationship, and my hope is that this morning most of you, if not all of you, have a relationship with God. You've prayed the sinner's prayer, you've given Him your heart, and you know where you're going. But if you haven't, my prayer is that you not leave this morning the same. Myself, Darshan, there are deacons in this room. We would love to pray with you. What more to create enthusiasm than to welcome a new brother or sister into the family of God? So if you haven't done that, then please don't leave this morning not doing that. But once you establish that relationship with God, it is vital that you be in the Word, that you be in constant prayer, and that you make Him the main focus of your life. And if and when you do that, and my hope is a few weeks ago when you were issued that challenge, some of you maybe took that to heart. Maybe you started reading your Bible more. Maybe you started praying a little more. Maybe you've kind of switched the totem pole as to where God stands, and He's number one. And if you've done that, then my hope is that you have a newfound passion in the Lord. Passion for the Lord is that second step. Once you create that relationship with God, and it's just going to create an amazing passion for Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says this, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. Whatever you do, do with all your might." Passion. Passion is a phenomenal word. Passion is a word used to express great love or feeling or admiration of something or someone. And as the word passion, I don't use the word passion very often because its value is so great. And I find a lot of times we overuse words and they lose their significance. But the word passion is such a magnificent word. Here's what I want you to do for the next 10 seconds, all right? I want you to think about something or someone that you are passionate about. And here, we'll step away from the church aspect. If it's a person, if it's your significant other, if it's a TV show, if it's a movie, if it's a book, if it's your job, I want you to really take a moment, 10 seconds, close your eyes, and think about what you are passionate about or what brings you great passion. For some of you, as you think about what brings you passion, the whole facial expression has changed. You've gone from to. Some of you, I mean, your lap, but I mean, I got to keep my eyes open and look around. Choir might have too. Some of you, you went from just like, okay, whatever, to, oh, and you might have thought of the person sitting right beside you and when you first met. You might have thought of your relationship with God. You might have thought of so many things, but you just defined the word passion. It brought you great joy, and it brought you great excitement, and this right here changed. You couldn't help but just show, because you closed your eyes, so you forget about who's in the room, and you're just like, oh, man, yeah, and you were smiling. Passion is also displayed when you're up here having worship, and the two ushers are standing in the back, where no one can see them except for the people up here just kind of having a good time worshiping. Thank you, DR and Mark. That was a great illustration. They were just loving, you know, worshiping. And here's my challenge for you, and I believe it with my entire heart. God longs for us to be as passionate for Him as you were for whatever you just thought about. Let's take it a step further. God longs for you to be as passionate for His Word, as you just were about whatever it was. Thirdly, God longs for you to be about as passionate about His people as you were for whatever you just thought about. And His people does not just involve the people in this room. It involves those outside. So, passion, a great word, a word that, I mean, it makes you excited if you're really passionate about something. I am passionate about youth ministry, my relationship with Ashley Barney Castle, and the Germany soccer team when it comes to World Cup soccer. And we'll use the Germany one so I don't embarrass Ashley and get a lecture later. Germany soccer, when it comes to that time, 2014, it will start, and I will watch just about every game. And any of you youth, you're more than welcome to come over. And we'll watch enthused. Excited. The last Germany game took place the week that I bought my house, and we actually scheduled the housewarming that day, and I was not the best host because the Germany game was on, and I was like, hey, thanks for coming, woo, and back to the TV. I am passionate about soccer, but Germany soccer, and watching them play, and I get excited about it because I know what teams they play on, what they stand for, you know, how excited they are, what they go through to make that team. I am passionate about that. If only I personally were as passionate about God's people as I am about a soccer game. So the if only we were as passionate about God's people and for God's people as we are about other things that are just going to fade away, what difference would it make? Once we develop a relationship with God, a true, genuine relationship, then the next step should be an increased passion in the Lord. And once we get that increased passion in the Lord and for the calling that He has on our lives, there's just craziness coming forth. That verse, we'll flip back to Colossians 3:23, says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever. It doesn't just say on Sunday mornings, come and be passionate, be fired up. It doesn't just say, hey, when you're at a church setting, be passionate, be fired up. Whatever you do, wherever you go, whoever you're with, be passionate. Whether it's at your workplace, whether it's at your house, whether it's in, you know, rush hour traffic in your car, whether it's at the restaurant this afternoon after church, whether it's at the emergency room because you fell down the stairs and have to have stitches. This week, Thursday, I fell down the stairs in the office and ruptured skin and had to have 5 stitches put in and had to have my thumb burned. It's really cool. I'll tell you guys later if you want to know. had to have it burned closed because it wasn't deep enough or whatever, but from the moment it happened to the moment I got home, I guess I didn't understand it. April was here to help me, and she was an amazing help. And I think even she personally, Daniel, you need to be more concerned. This is bad. And it was like, hey, I'm alive. It's okay. You know, Daniel, no, you need to be more concerned. And Ashley drove me to the hospital because I'm a left-handed person, drove me to the hospital, and we checked in, and anyone and everyone who asked, how are you? The initial answer, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, because I speak that high. Yes. And also blessed and highly favored. And Ashley had to fill out the paperwork because I couldn't write. And we're sitting in the room and there's these 3 ladies. You know, oh, what happened? And I told them what happened and just kind of smiled about it. And, hey, but I'm alive. I'm blessed. God loves me. It could have been so much worse. Got back to where they take your blood and everything, make sure you're good. And even, you know, she, as I took it off, she was like, ooh, how are you? And I was like, I'm blessed. I'm good. Really? And I think I freaked these people out because I wasn't freaked out. I've only been to the hospital 3 times in my life. Thank you, Jesus. And really, I wasn't in pain. By the grace of God, they asked, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much pain are you in? And I said, like a 2. And really? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, that's really bad. I said, it's actually the thumb that hurts. We get back to the room. The doctor comes in. And I am so intrigued by the doctor and how long he's been doing this and if he enjoys it and where he got his degree and asking questions that he's like, dude, shut up. I'm trying to sew your hand up. And I was just, I was excited. And in everything, other than, and I'll be real with you, other than the car ride over there, it was just me and Ashley, and I was really disappointed and really distraught and really going, really, God, I've got so much to do today. This doesn't fit into the schedule. But from the point that we got there to the point we got home and I could actually see what had happened, I was like delirious. I think they all thought I was on something. Because I was excited, and really I should have been crying or I should have been, you know, cussing up a storm or I should have been really upset, but I was just like, hey, it's all good. And they have this really cool thing that wraps your thumb. It's really awesome. And it was the last thing they did, and they wrap it, and I was just, whoa, that's awesome. And they were just, that's, you're weird. you're really weird. And Ashley's like, dude, we'll get you one. And we actually did. But anyway, we bought one. And that story being told because I believe it happened for a reason, and if the reason for it was for the illustration, then awesome. Throughout the probably the 9 or 10 people I think we ran into, without saying, you know, or quoting scripture, or preaching down their throat, we did let them know I was a youth minister, because that's Ashley's explanation for how silly I am. He's a youth minister, sorry. But that's true. But throughout the whole thing, my hope is that they saw passion for God. Regardless of the situation, it could have been worse. I'm alive. You know, how are you? Blessed. I'm highly favored. The way I fell like this. So my hand's here, but my neck's here. And I don't know, but it could have been worse. So God was looking out for me. And that was my response to them. And my hope is not just on Sunday morning when I get the opportunity to preach, or when I get to stand up here and play guitar and worship, or when I'm with the youth, but in everything, that my passion for God, because I have a relationship with Him, is evident. Just like whatever you thought about made you smile, my hope is that your passion for God is evident anywhere, everywhere, and whoever you're with, that people can see something different in you. Wherever you go, know that you serve a living God. A living God. Our God's not dead. He's alive. And others can claim other gods. But my God's not dead. He's alive. He looks out for me. He's here this morning. I spoke with Him this morning. We had a good talk. But it's important you establish a relationship, and it's important that once that relationship is established, you should see a great growth in your passion for God. You should be eager to get the opportunity to worship Him, to get to, sing songs, to read His Word, to have Bible studies. Enthusiastic believers is the final step. Once you've established a relationship with God, that passion grows. There's nothing left but for you to be enthusiastic. Because I don't understand personally how you can have a relationship with a living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of heavens and earth, the God, same God who sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins, and you have a relationship with Him. And that passion just overflows. And once that passion overflows, you become an enthusiastic believer. Enthusiastic believers are sometimes called Jesus freaks, are sometimes called radical believers. Others may call you weird. But I believe that God did not call us to be of this world, but to live in it and be different and make a difference. And my heart is burdened because there are so many lost people out there. And that third one is we need to have passion for His people. And there are so many lost and hurting out there that are so eager to find someone who is an enthusiastic believer, who's a Jesus freak, who's passionate about God, His Word, and His people, and who has a true relationship with Him. Because so many times they've run into fakes, and they've seen the ugly side, and they're so desperately searching for someone who really knows God. A couple weeks ago, this man right here, and I'm gonna rant and rave on Spencer Davis. Spencer Davis has come out of his shell on the missions trip, and he blows me away every day that I get to hang out with him. When we prayed, he prayed that we as a church would be a hospital for the hurting and the weak, and not a museum for the rich and the wise, or something like that. What a prayer. God has called us to have a passion for His people, for those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who have been burned, those who are struggling. And I believe with all my heart that they are desperately seeking someone who is truly a Jesus freak, someone who's not afraid to proclaim the gospel no matter what it may cost them, no matter what people may say, no matter where they're at or who they're with, to proclaim the gospel and not be ashamed of who God is and what He did for them. Being an enthusiastic believer is not easy. And I'm not going to pitch that to you. You know, it's easy. Hop on board. It's not easy. And it's not something that happens in one altar call or even overnight. It is something that takes work. Just like those of you that are married, the relationship you are in takes work. It takes you listening. It takes you sharing. takes you, you know, loving each other. Before you can be an enthusiastic believer, you've got to do the same for God. You got to speak to Him in the morning, whenever you speak to Him. You got to listen to what He's saying. You got to make Him the priority of your life. And then you'll have a new passion for Him. And once that passion hits, you can't help but be weird for Him. And my hope this morning is that for those of you in this room who have a relationship with God, my hope is that you are challenged, that you are encouraged, that you're excited, that God loves you. God is your biggest fan. And Jeremiah 29:11, God knows the plans He has for your life. They're for good, not to harm you, to prosper you. God is looking out for your best interests, even though it may not look like it to you at times. The word is desperate. This world is desperately seeking true believers, true followers of God, true radical Christians who are not afraid to proclaim the gospel. The question for you is, are you ready to accept that radical, crazy calling to be an enthusiastic believer, to be a person who stands up for God no matter what? Because ultimately, that is what the enthusiastic believer does. Because there's a passion for God, there's a passion for His Word, there's a passion for His people, and there's a relationship. And when God asks an enthusiastic believer to do something, there's no hesitation. All right, let's go. Just like husbands, if your wife asks you to do something, you do it. Or you're not married anymore. No. But you do it. And so when God, who you're in a relationship with, asks you to do something, it's just a privilege to be asked, and you do it. Last week, the youth got to share. And there was three of them who shared. And we kind of summed it up with them challenging us to be a church that prays. A church that is compassionate. A church that trusts God in everything. And a church that is united. And this morning I add that we need to be a church full of enthusiastic believers. Ready to do whatever God calls us to do. Whatever He asks us to do. No matter what the cost. And my question for you is are you ready? And I'll be real, I'm not enlisting you to serve the country or anything of that nature, but it's a true calling, and it's not one to take lightly. But I invite you this morning as we close, if you need just to talk to God, if it's been so long since you've taken time to talk to Him, I invite you. You can do so in your seat. You can come down. If you want someone to pray with you, we are more than happy to pray with you. If you just need to talk to Him, if you need to get things straight, there's some things that have gone on. I encourage you to be as excited about Puerto Rico water polo as I am, to get down here and talk to Him. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, I desperately encourage you with all my heart to do that today. And there are several people in this room who would love just the privilege to walk you through that and be there for you. Or if you're just saying, hey, you know what, Daniel, a couple weeks ago, that apathetic thing, that got to me, and I've begun to change. My relationship with God has grown. My passion has increased, and I'm ready just to be all sold out for Him. Then I encourage you just to come forward, and between you and God, no one else, I ain't going to embarrass you. Between you and God, just to lay it down and say, God, take my life. It's all yours. So as we close with the beautiful song, Take My Life, and Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, the altar is open. And if you just need to take time to talk to Him, I encourage you to do so.